You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Poetry is good food. That's the lesson award-winning writer Peter Marcus has been teaching to kids in Detroit for years. He taught creative writing in the Detroit public schools, and he's the senior writer with the Inside Out Literary Arts Project. It places writers in public schools to hold creative writing workshops. In his latest book, Inside My Pencil, Peter Marcus tells the true stories of the power of poetry and writing to change a child's way of looking at the world and at himself or herself. Peter Marcus, welcome to Stateside. So good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
When you say to your students that poetry is good food, what do you mean by that?
I just believe that we need to make more time in our lives for poetry. You know, I think we eat poetry. There's a poem by Mark Strand that I teach and I make reference to in the book that, you know, when we delight in language, I think it can transform our experience into a richer experience in the world. So poetry, you know, I'm playing with the old Campbell's soup motto that soup is good food, but I also think poetry and I think our classrooms, our educational system in general just needs to make more space in itself for language, poetry, even more so creativity, the imagination.
And this is something that you've been really fighting to bring into classrooms, especially working in Detroit. Tell us more about the kids who are in your classes. What do you want us to understand about these Detroit students that we meet in your book?
I mean, one thing I've always discovered in doing what I do is that if you give a child an opportunity to dream, he will dream. If you give her an opportunity to imagine, she will imagine. If you tell that same child to grow up, sit down, they're going to shut down. So I come in, you know, loving what I do, saying there's no right or wrong way to do it. Let's have some fun. I'm going to put you in situations where you're going to succeed, in a place where too often children are placed in situations to fail. And then all of a sudden they do succeed. I can write a poem. I can be creative. I can say something that Mr. Pete is like, wow, I've never heard it said in such a way. That's beautiful.
The magic inside their pencil.
There you go. And all of a sudden then you're starting to breed confidence. And out of confidence comes success. And out of that success, they want to keep on doing it. And that's, these children can do it as long as you create an opportunity for them to do it. If you don't give them the opportunity to do it, you know, they're going to do something else.
Now, what do you say or do for the kid who looks at that pencil and said, oh, there's nothing but lead inside that pencil, the super realist kid?
I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I said, no problem. Let's look again. You know, we've got two eyes. At first, we look with the right eye. It didn't work. No problem. Let's try again. It's okay to fail, right? It's okay to say, well, let's, you know, I didn't see anything, Mr. Pete. Okay, look again with your left eye. And a lot of times that kid might say, you know, and I respect that sort of resistance. You know, no, I didn't see anything this time. All I saw was that little rubbery eraser. Okay, well, how about this? You know, when you close your eyes at night, sometimes we dream and you see the visual world behind your dreams, behind your eyelids. Close your eyes. Let's place that pencil up to, you know, our forehead. What do you see there? Or what do you wish you could see? If you're not seeing anything, what do you want to see?
You just want to uncork it. You know, you want to get that imagination
uncorked. Uncork the bottle. Yeah. Guess what comes out? The genie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll see it. Eventually, I've run into resistance. But by the time I get to that third eye, you know, and everybody else in the room has sort of been relishing in the delight of the imagination, even the more resistant child is going to say, yeah, I think I saw something that time. Okay, what did you see? Then you start asking questions, and out of questions comes these very wonderful answers.
I'm talking with Peter Marcus, writer, about his newest book, Inside My Pencil, Teaching Poetry in the Detroit Public Schools. With that in mind, I'd love if you would read us a couple of your students' poems from your book. I know there was one called Poetry Lives by Troy Nana Barnett, and I thought it was a great example of what you've been able to help these kids realize.
I'd love to read that poem. And it's a poem that I continue to bring into the classroom to inspire other poems that respond to the question that I ask, which is, where does poetry live? Humans live in houses and condos and sometimes in their cars or even under bridges. Mm-hmm. Birds live in trees, in nests made out of twig and mud. Sometimes they even live in the marsh on the ground. Fish live in ponds, lakes, rivers, fish tanks. Where does poetry live then? And this is what she wrote. Poetry lives in the strings of a guitar, the peak of a mountain. Poetry lives in the sass of a girl's walk, the wishes of a dying child. Poetry lives in the stretch of an eyelash, the flash of a blinding light. Poetry lives in every rhyme, every melody we speak, every line, every stanza we write. One thing I try to get these kids to think about too, and that sets up that question, is I'll bring in poems like by William Carlos Williams, The Red Wheelbarrow. Mm-hmm. So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow glazed with rainwater beside the white chickens. Or another small poem of his called Between Walls, the back wings of the hospital where nothing will grow, lie cinders in which shine the broken pieces of a green bottle. So I get them to say, poetry lives in these small places, the stretch of an eyelash, right? The sass of a girl's walk.
That's stunning. You know? How old was that youngster when she wrote that, roughly?
Probably sixth grade.
Wow.
But, you know, the third grade, the third graders go there, and I teach that with my university students. And
I wish I'd written something like that in my life.
I wish I'd written something like
That's stunning.
As well.
There's also a poem by Eddie Stewart called What Is a Poem? Would you share that one with us and tell us about how old this youngster was when he wrote this?
Eddie was a student of mine from grade 4 through grade 8. I had the pleasure of being the writer in residence at Marcus Garvey Academy, where I still am the writer in residence, but with him for those 4 consecutive years. And that's a question that I like to ask questions to my students. And sometimes the question is, where does poetry live? Yeah. This question that he responded to was, what is a poem? And of course, when we first start talking about what a poem is, well, a poem is something that rhymes. It's something that where we can express how we feel. Sometimes it doesn't rhyme. It looks funny on the page. It's not a paragraph. And then sometimes they spit all these great metaphors. So what is a poem by Eddie Stewart? A poem is a ball of fire lifting into the sky. No. A poem is a girl with hair long enough to climb. A poem is a car speeding down the road, going past the speed limit. A poem is a flower blooming faster than all the other flowers. No. A poem is a lesson that you will always remember. A poem is a mother bird teaching her babies how to fly. A poem is the happiest mother in the world on Mother's Day. No. A poem is a man riding a dragon saying, "This is the best day of my life." Hey, don't you know that you can rise up to become whatever you want? Did you know the world is a better place with you on it? I'm Eddie Stewart, and I want everyone to get off their feet and be as happy as you can be. Everyone, I want you to share some happy times in your life with friends. Don't be afraid. You can make a bigger difference. Remember, you are a queen bee watching over the hive.
Wow, Eddie Stewart.
Eddie is an amazing just little person and poet. And
clearly.
You know, he's a wise man dressed up as a child. You know, he reminds me of the great poet Hafiz, who says, "Our words become the house we live in." Mm. And Eddie has built this house around him that's just made out of beauty and kindness and joy.
Well, you know? It is a book that will make you feel good, I promise. Anyone who picks up this book, Inside My Pencil, Teaching Poetry in the Detroit Public Schools, you're going to walk away feeling really, really good. Peter Marcus, thank you so much for sharing your work with
us. Thank you so much for saying that.